Salvation was available by faith in Jesus' name. And he went all through what's now modern-day Turkey and Greece, and he founded a bunch of churches. He started new congregations of believers. One of those was in the region called Galatia. That would be, well, somewhere around that Turkey-Greece area. And he wrote this to them in Galatians 4:19. He says, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." He looked at founding these churches as an act of motherhood, if you would. He saw the congregations as his children, and the assembly of those congregations, the establishment of those groups as being like labor. Now, I have personally never been in labor in the maternal sense, but I was there when my wife was with my oldest son, Nathan. It took her about 20 hours to give birth to him, and I understand that that's not terribly unusual, and some have labored longer, but I have to tell you that in that day, my respect for my wife increased exponentially. As I saw the discomfort and the pain and the sheer determination to get this child out of me and get this done. And she finally got to a point where she's just like, "We're finishing now." Right? And she got it done, and just the will and the determination. And then I don't know what we would call it. I'm not going to use the word foolishness. That would be inappropriate. But the willingness to do it two more times. I mean, if you're a second child, honor your mom. Yeah? And if you're somewhere past two or three or four, you increase that honor exponentially. We usually think of motherhood in those biological sense, someone who gave birth, who brought life into the world. And Genesis 3:20, you know, the first mother is introduced, Eve. And she was named Eve because she was the mother of all who came to life after that. And it's a unique role. You know, in today's world, we're having all kinds of debates about gender and gender roles, but we just need to acknowledge that in the beginning, when God created them male and female, he gave to one a particular role, unique, which the other half of humanity cannot do, and that is to bring life into this world. And for the life-giving role of a mom, we want to honor them, and we should honor them. It's their unique participation in the rule and reign and plan of God in the earth. God said he created them male and female, and he created them in his image, and he called them very good. And they both in some way reflect attributes of God himself. And God is the creator of life. And he's delegated that ongoing act to women. They have a unique role in showing us part of the image of God, that care for, that nurture of life. That is an attribute of God. He is like that. And when you see that in your mom, honor that. That's an image of God being represented in your life and in your experience. Motherhood is also a very sacrificial thing. It doesn't end at the giving of the birth. It just begins. And those who have very young children appreciate that in particular, that this becomes an all-consuming act of service to this life, to keep them alive, to keep them well, to keep them fed, to keep them clothed, to teach them how to care for themselves. It's a 24/7, 365 job. And you'll often hear young moms, mothers of young children, have this complaint that they never get any privacy. There's no escape. There's no end. There's no stop. And so my wife would sometimes try to escape to the bathroom, like, "Surely here I can get some privacy, you know." And it doesn't matter what the kids were doing. As soon as they heard that bathroom door click, it's like magnetism. Boom. "What you doing?" "It's a bathroom. Can you see my fingers? Can you see my toes?" You know, there's no escape. It's 24/7, 365. It's a sacrificial job. It's always going, but it's a labor of love, right? It's that expression of genuine care that does this, that wears themselves out in giving the things that are necessary for this young life to flourish. It's an image of God. That's what he does for us. He's given us every good thing and every perfect gift, everything we need for life and godliness. He's poured out. He wants to nurture us. And when Paul looked at the church, that's how he saw himself. I introduced these people to the gospel. I drew them together into fellowship. It's like I gave birth to them. And I continue to nurture them in prayer and admonition and letters and visits. He's trying to bring them up into maturity in Christ. He wants them to flourish in the gospel. This is how Paul saw himself, as being like a mom. And it's one of those things that helps us picture what motherhood really should be. A gospel-oriented mission of eternal purpose. Because we're not just trying to bring these little lives up to be able to take themselves to the bathroom and clothe themselves. We're trying to bring these little lives up in the fear and admonition of the Lord into people who live a life of missional purpose to honor and glorify the one who created and gave them life, and the one who gave his life so that they could live eternally. It's really much more than just those physical acts of giving birth and caring. It's really a spiritual job. So one of the things we can learn from Paul is he sees himself as a mom. He's also telling us what motherhood can really be all about. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8, he has another picture there. So he'd written similarly to the Galatian church about being like a mom to them, and he writes to the Thessalonian church in similar terms. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8, he says this, "We proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." As a nursing mother, that tender care, that genuine care, but it was so much more than just physical things. Like a mom, he was imparting his own very life. And most importantly, the gospel. So I hope that you would consider that MOM could stand for Mothers on Mission. That motherhood really is a way to live out the Great Commission. If we are all, every one of us, called to go and make disciples, who has a more ready audience of disciples than a mother around her kitchen table every day? To them, she can impart the gospel. It can and should be a commission-oriented, gospel-centered activity, to give them not just physical life, but to lead them on the path of life to eternal life by faith in Jesus' name. So if you have a mom who gave you that kind of sacrificial loving care, who also put into that a gospel message pointing to you to faith, it is appropriate for you to honor her. A mother on mission. I want you to consider that there are a lot of different things that a woman could do with her time and energy. There are avenues of every career option are available to women to this day. My wife has a college degree. She could be a teacher. She wanted to be a marine biologist. But that, I'm afraid of water. So she kind of had to make a choice. She chose me, and I praise God for that. I'm not sure why she did that, but she did. But when we had kids, she also made another choice, to give that nurture her priority focus. That was a sacrificial choice. We lived with less to enable that, and she did something different than the other options that were available to her to give that priority focus. You know, a baker they can make a cake. They can make a beautiful cake. You can make a wedding cake. Just a wonderful thing. Creative, valuable, but how long does it last? A week, maybe? A carpenter can build a very beautiful structure. He can even make it strong and put it on a firm foundation. And how long will it last? A century? But a mother that pours the gospel into her children by faith, she's building something that has the potential to be eternal, lasts forever. We make choices with our priorities and time. If you have a mom that gave you her choice of priority, honor her. Honor her. And I understand, you know, we got to make ends meet. And there are all kinds of different ways that people make family work. But I just want us to consider that all of us are called to missional purpose. To consider the gospel the thing that really matters and really lasts. And whether we need to work a second job, whether we need to work outside the home or not, let's just remember what we're working for. To build and nurture lives for eternal impact. Let's give it our priority and our heart. This is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3. This to me is a real picture of what motherhood could make as their objective. 2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3, Paul said, "You are our letter," talking to the church. "You are our letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." When we raise children in the knowledge of God, we are writing the gospel on tablets of human hearts to send them out to be read by our culture and our nation and anyone they may come in contact with. There's a psalm that talks about how blessed a man is who has many arrows, whose quiver's full, and it's talking about children, right? But to me, there's a picture there that an arrow is something that you send out. You send it further than you can personally go. It should be our great prayer and ambition to send our children out with the gospel message that they can go where we have never been able to go, that they can go further and surpass us in faith and in missional impact. How beautiful a thing that would be, huh? And there's a picture of that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So Paul, again, writing about the impact that this faith-affirming mom can have. He says, "I'm mindful," talking to Timothy, "of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." There's this woman named Lois who put faith into the life and heart of another woman named Eunice, who put faith into the life of another young man named Timothy. And he, with Paul, became a pastor and impacted churches and the gospel and the kingdom for eternity. Letters written on tablets of hearts. That's what a mom is doing when they teach them and lead them in faith. This Wednesday, we had a group get together here in the library, and we talked a little bit about family and their experience and heritages and about their experiences with their moms. And there's one gentleman, Baltazar, that was there, and I think he said he was one of the middle of 12 kids. And if I remember the story right, he was about 7 years old when his mom accepted Christ. And he said she didn't know how to read or write, so she couldn't teach them from the written word. But she taught her children from her life, from her love, from her example. And if I remember right, 4 of his brothers are pastors. Baltazar is here, man of faith serving. That family is having kingdom impact. I think it was another 10 years, he said, before his father accepted Christ. But he did eventually come to accept Christ. This woman, pouring her life into these children, gospel, faith, writing in them, life in their hearts so they could go forth and be read by a whole nother generation and all over this nation, multiple nations, I believe. The impact a mom can have. If you have a mom, a mother on mission, honor her. Honor her. And if I describe to you a challenging picture and you are just kind of hanging your head and saying, I'm not sure I'm up to that task, or I'm not sure I'm doing that very well. I want to encourage you that you are not alone. In fact, if I can be blunt, that's probably exactly how you should feel. So I'm going to try something here. If you'll bear with me and participate with me, I'm going to ask you to be honest with each other. I'm going to ask everybody just to kind of close your eyes for a second. I'll tell you when to open them. And if you're a mom here today and you're feeling like, I'm just not up to this task that Paul is describing, can you kind of just slip your hand up? Just quietly slip it up. Okay, you can put it down. Thank you. You can open your eyes again. I just want you all to know that that feeling of inadequacy is a near universal feeling. And Paul, who saw himself as like a mom to churches, he felt exactly the same way. And one of the hardest things I've had to struggle with in trying to learn how to be a pastor is just to own up to the fact I'm inadequate for this job. We are all inadequate for the kingdom mission. We are insufficient to save anyone. But God in his sovereignty has willed it that we would partner with him in the mission. And the commission itself contains this promise, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you in this mission. So Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. In fact, that sense that, wow, this is an immense task. This is eternal stuff. This is life and death, should motivate us to seek the one who has the power over life and death, who can save, heal, restore, lead, and guide. And this is exactly what Paul found out. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, he says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with my weaknesses.'" Can you be content in your inadequacy? Can you get comfortable realizing that every time you feel like you've blown it or you failed or you're falling short, that that's your invitation to call on God, who has power to change and transform hearts and lives? He says, "I will be content with my weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When I am weak, I'm motivated to pray and call on God. And the prayer of faith unlocks spiritual power. And that's what we want in our homes, in our lives, in our parenting. We need to be willing to receive into our families, into motherhood itself, the same grace that we receive individually before Christ, recognizing that Jesus has forgiven our yesterday at the cross. His indwelling spirit gives us strength for whatever today holds, and power gives us access to the throne of God for hope for tomorrow. If you have a praying mom, I had a mom that prayed for me every day. Still does. Because she knows I need it. She didn't even know how much I needed it when I was growing up. So many times she had no way of knowing the decisions I was making or wrestling with, or the stupid stuff I was doing, walking train tracks and bridges and things I didn't tell her about until many years afterwards. A praying mom. Praise God for praying mom. If you have a mom that seeks the throne of God for your life, honor her. Honor her. I'm sensitive this morning that Mother's Day is not a happy day for everybody. That this can be a difficult day for many people. There are those that can't have kids, or maybe were never married, or are not married yet. Maybe you have kids that have wandered from the faith, or maybe you've lost children to tragedy, and maybe you're a single parent, and this is just overwhelming, this job. Jesus and Paul have encouragement for those that don't fit neatly into our mom box. So I really want us to realize that to be a mom is to be a mother on mission. And I chose Paul as the example today because he's a single man who never had kids, who saw himself as a mom, a mother on mission, giving birth to faith in Christ's kingdom life. And Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." In this family of faith, we are never alone. We are never without value. We are never without purpose, because we are never without family. The family of God is gathered here today. And I want us to recognize that children don't give us value or purpose. Jesus does, but he has commissioned us with a mission that has value and purpose for our lives. And one avenue of that expression is family and children biologically. But there's another way to have children, and Paul's been pointing that out. I know a woman in her 40s who very much wanted to be married and have kids. Mr. Wright never came along, and she's still single, and she still doesn't have kids. And she was talking to my wife one time about adopting. Maybe that would give her that sense of family that she so hungered for. And Nikki reminded her that she has been working in her church's youth program for 15 years. She's had dozens, if not 100+ kids go through that youth program, and she's been a mom to them. She's been on mission trips to orphanages, and some still write her and call her mom. And she's led some of those kids to saving faith in Christ. She's birthed them into the kingdom, into eternal life through Christ. She's been a mom in a way that surpasses many biological moms. She's touched so many lives because she had opportunity to be there at times and hours and places that moms with young kids wouldn't be able to be. She was a mother on mission, even though she didn't biologically give birth to any of them. She said there is actually an advantage to that. It's like being a grandparent. At the end of the day, she can send them home. They don't go home with her. Paul encouraged specifically the single to see how they are uniquely advantage to serve eternal purposes. He even went so far in 1 Corinthians 7:8 to say to the unmarried and to widows that it's good for them to remain even as I. And there were a variety of different reasons why he said that, but one of them is so that they could be moms, mothers on mission in ways that maybe they couldn't if they had families or children of their own. So if to be a mom is more spiritual than biological, and like to encourage every woman here to be willing to see herself as a mother on mission, as a mom, with her own children, whoever God brings into her life, not just while they're little, but all through their life, all through the phases of life, even to the second and third generation. If you've had someone who is a spiritual mom in your life, not your biological mom, not the one that gave you birth, but somebody that encouraged you and mentored you and pointed you to faith in Christ, honor that woman this weekend. She too is a mom. There's a video that Pastor Tim found. We've talked today about honoring all kinds of moms and all the different ways that they have influence in your life. And this video, I hope, will encourage you to consider to value all the women in the church that God brings into your life, that bless you and to whom you can be a blessing, and all the seasons of their life and all their roles and all their ups and downs. We pray that the Marian Church today and you individually this weekend will make it a point to honor the women that God has brought into our life. Amen. And go ahead and show that video. And I'll let the worship team come forward as that's playing.
Today is Mother's Day, and we want to acknowledge all the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, and your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we are hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you. We love you. And we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you. And we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, we walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength, beauty, and individuality, and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.